What advice would you give our boys? You know, life, like life advice that you'd give them. We want to talk about fatherhood today. Wanted to talk about, you know, I have four boys. Dave has two boys. We're just trying to navigate being a good dad, you know, and throughout this crazy world. You obviously have developed this. You're developing a legacy in sports. People know you very well in the sports. But I'm curious about how you want to develop a legacy in fatherhood as a father.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I know there's a big responsibility that comes from being the head of the household. Your children are all looking towards you. Your wife is looking towards you as the leader. And if you squander that gift that you've been given of authority, then that's going to lead to your marriage probably not being great, your children maybe leaving the faith and not being the fullest human being that God wants them to be. So that's a big pressure that you have, but I know we all have different personalities, but that definitely motivates me. And I don't know if that's from sports, but when you set a high bar, and we have so many high bars set with great saints in our faith, I can reach for that and say, I'm not perfect, but I know I can improve and I can be better. And it encourages me to know that even if I don't say the right things, if I don't know everything, at least if I love my wife and I try to treat my children with charity and try to, you know, show virtue in all of my decisions, that's going to lay a pretty good foundation for my entire household. And that's kind of what motivates me to make sure I'm, you know, sitting up straight and saying the right things and trying to be the same person no matter if my children are around, no matter if they're not, no matter if I'm away from the family, if I'm with them, just with my wife alone. I need to make sure that I am that authentic man, that Christ-like man that we're all called to be at all times. So it becomes more and more natural for me to kind of push away all those temptations that we have from our original sin and become Christ-like with all the virtues.
You know, it's just refreshing to hear it. I think secular world wouldn't even recognize that, but just that you would say that the husband is the head of the,
right.
You know, that he, you know, I am the head of this family.
Right.
I think the Catholic world gets that, but I think secularly, that's why we're having a lot of problems. I think men are very comfortable taking a back seat,
shirking their responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of that has come from bad fathers who they accept that role of like the head of the household as someone that just delegates everything and is basically a, you know, a corrupt leader, a corrupt king. But you can look at sports, for instance. A great head coach, and I'll give a shout out to my head coach, Andy Reid, is someone that when anything bad happens, he always takes the blame. I'm the head coach. I'm the leader. If something went wrong, even if it wasn't even close to being Coach Reid's fault, he's going to take the blame for it. No one would look at a head coach who got up on the podium after a game and said, yeah, that player really messed up. That coach did an awful job. No one's going to respect that man, right?
Yeah.
We need men to take on that leadership role. It is countercultural, but I think when the secular world hears men talk about being the head of their household, they immediately curl up and the hair on their arm gets raised. They don't like that, but when there's a leader of a company or a leader of a football team who takes on that ownership as leader, everyone's like, yeah, that's a great leader. Good for him. So I try to talk more about men being the head of the household because I really, truly believe that that will make for a better marriage and for a better society.
So with that in mind, when it comes to like with your children, parents, the catechism tells us that parents are the primary educators of their kids. So what do you do with your own children to take on that role as their primary educator?
That's something that I've been very enthusiastic about embracing because I was not homeschooled. My wife was not. My oldest is six, so he knows how to read now. Thank you to my beautiful wife. She has taught him so much. But understanding that it's both of us teaching them, and there's some things that she does a great job at, there's some things that I can do a great job at. Obviously, I'm at work for a lot of the day, but even when I come home, I can help check up on stuff that he's learning. I can read books to him, and I can probably learn myself. He's about to receive First Communion, so he's very pumped up about being an altar boy, and you know, I have a big love for altar serving, so I've been already working with him and teaching him the prayers at the altar and so many different things. But it is a group effort, And we have the ability to form these children, give them a great foundation. And really, as I said, with Coach Reed being the head coach, if they don't turn out how we want it, it's no one else's fault but the parents. We are the primary educators, and it's a beautiful authority that God has given us, and we should embrace that.
Hey, have you broken a rosary in the last 6 months?
Because I haven't. I've been using the same one for the last 8 years.
So have I, and I've even let my little boys pray with this rosary without worrying about it breaking.
That's because we use rosaries from the Catholic Woodworker. Heirloom quality, built to last.
So go pick up one today. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com.
And make sure to search for the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah, absolutely. So how would you develop this prayer routine within your family? How do you establish the, kind of set the tone, so to speak?
Right. Well, we pray before every meal together as a family. We need to do a better job with the Angelus, but I think that's a beautiful thing that is done throughout the day. It's something that Regina Chaley promotes.
Right.
To have this like prayer life, you know, obviously we're not praying the hours, right? But having this cadence of, you know, three different times throughout the day, we're going to pray together as a group. We're going to pray the Angelus. And something that we've always stuck with is doing a family rosary. Mm. And the rosary for myself and for my wife has been so instrumental in strengthening my faith, for her converting. And that's something that I want my children to grow up with. I want that to be a habit of theirs, to do a daily rosary and to be able to do it on their own at a young age. So that is something that we promote in the home. And one thing that we've been focusing on more, I guess, is not necessarily praying more in terms of quantity, but when we do pray, let's try to kneel down. Let's try to be still. Let's try to be quiet. Let's try to have more quality of our prayers. Because if we were calling our grandmother up on the phone, we wouldn't just say really quickly and we got a bunch of stuff going on. We would take our time. We would be focused. Well, we should be, you know, intentional with that time that we're spending with a loved one. And we should obviously do that with Our Lady and with the saints and with our Lord.
Oh, man.
You're singing our tune.
Dude, yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. One thing my wife and I say is that we homeschool our kids, you know, that we want them to get into heaven, not Harvard.
Right.
You know, I hope that they would be able to go to Harvard if right. they wanted to, but right. that's not actually our goal.
Yeah.
I want them to go to heaven. Like,
right.
at the end of the day, I don't care if you can do math.
Right.
Our kids can do math. Okay?
right.
But and so we put time in thinking about, or we're teaching them math, but what about teaching them how to have a relationship with Christ?
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's easy to get enveloped in trying to make them masters of the sciences or trying to make them fluent in tons of languages, which is all great. And we need to be excellent as Catholics. We need our children to be excellent. But that comes below their relationship with Christ, their relationship with the church, their prayer life, and then just being a virtuous human being that is respectful of adults, has decorum, knows how to act, you know, in a public setting. And I've been so encouraged seeing, you know, a lot of these homeschoolers and different young people at parishes and how great examples those children are, and that their children really reflect their parents and how they've been raised. But they're respectful, they look you in the eye, and those are the things that I want for my child. I want them to know how to think, and if they have that gift, then I pray that they learn tons of languages and that they are masters in the sciences and they go out and they change the world in academia. So I'm very encouraged by seeing so many young people that are getting a great foundation of how to think, how to behave, what are the virtues, what are my vices, how can I grow there first, and then once I'm well-formed, let's add on all of the education and the academia, so to speak.
Amen. I want to ask you, this is kind of a little bit of a different question, but as we're talking about fatherhood, what do you think is the role of a grandfather?
Oh. The role of the grandfather, you know, ideally, the grandfather adds a lot of wisdom, you know, to the household. Ideally, the grandfather, I've been talking about this a lot recently with just friends, but, you know, it used to be that the grandparents or the great-great-grandparents, they were around the home, they lived in the same house maybe, you know, on the same property of land. I think that would be a beautiful thing to return back to, especially with how expensive it is now to get houses and everything. It's like, just get some land, try to get all the family together.
Have a good garden, a couple chickens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
You can pass down so many beautiful lessons from generation to generation. I'm very grateful to have grown up 5 minutes from both of my grandparents. grandfathers, grandparents, and I'm so grateful that I had those examples. You know, I think our young men especially need those examples. Young women need to be around their grandmothers especially, and that's the ideal of what a boy is going to become, of what a little girl is going to become. You know, someone ideally, you know, in their old age that has lived a long life with lots of lessons and can hopefully pass down the faith and so many lessons to the younger generations.
Okay, so we have one last question for you. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, I have four boys. Dave has two boys. What advice would you give our boys, you know, life advice that you'd give them?
Life advice that I would give the young boys? That's a good question. I think I'd probably say, you know, you're enough. Like, you don't have to follow a lot of these masculine figures that we see, whether that's in sports, whether that's in media, whether that's in business. We see a lot of this masculinity that tells us that we need to have these big egos. We need to have pride. We need to crush everyone that's around us and be super competitive. And I would just say, you know, you're enough. God gave you everything you need to be a saint. You have our Lord's life to look at. You have all the saints to look at. And what masculinity or being a man looks like for you might be different. Obviously, there's some general things that apply to everyone, but we all have different personalities, temperaments. We all have different gifts, different talents. God might want you completely, you know, somewhere else than what you thought you were going to do with your life, but that's okay. As long as we're praying about it and we're accepting the life that God has given us, I think we should embrace that and use that kind of high bar, all those saints that we have to look at, to, you know, fulfill our role as leaders in the society, as men, pray to figure out our vocation and hopefully get in the vocation at a young age before we have the rest of our world kind of tempting us and confusing us with what's most important in life. So that would be my advice, that you are enough, follow our Lord and the saints, and those are the ideal men that we should look up to, and it's going to look different for everyone.
Great advice. Harrison,
last gift.
Thank you for being here. We have a gift for you from our friends at the Catholic Woodworker.
This is nice.
The Terror of Demons.
Oh, great.
Rosary.
Handmade rosary. So just nice. Take that as a thank you gift.
It was great. Do you want me to open it right now?
Sure.
Yeah, let me open it right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nice. I have a feeling my 6-year-old son's really going to love this.
Good. Good. Yeah. We all have one as well.
Nice.
We've had one forever.
Saint Joseph.
So.
This is awesome. So, Holy Family, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. It's great.